afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Friday, October 4th, 2019. Are you here another day, Butch?
I certainly am. You just won't give me time off at all.
Holy smokes, I tell ya.
Well, you have to admit, I'm faithful.
Yes, you are, and it is all appreciated. James Corbett usually is here. We have our conversation. We pre-record a conversation, or I do, with James Corbett, and there was some issues on Wednesday. We were unable to do it, and he tried to do a rain check for this coming week. He's unable to do it, so it's going to be another 2 weeks without your James Corbett, ladies and gentlemen. So I hope you enjoy us today, and we're going to try to bring you a great program, and I want to thank you for joining us, and let's get started. And gold today had a nice rebound, and of course, so the one report everybody was waiting for was the jobs report. And we initially saw gold prices fall to $1,497 from $1,509, and 30 minutes following the release of the government's monthly jobs report before rebounding to the $1,505 where we're at right now, and that was by lunchtime. So we're at $1,505, down 80 cents at $1,505, as I said. Silver was down 2 cents at $17.60. Platinum was down 7 at $886. Palladium was up 13 at $16.75. The USDX today was a little bit weaker, 0.09 at 98.82. Crude oil was up 42 at 52.87. The paper markets today, of course, they loved the jobs report. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit, but the job report's here. Oh, yeah. And I told you yesterday, after that pretty sour release on the non-manufacturing, that they released a little bit of info on the jobs report today. That's why we had that 300-point turnaround yesterday, and the Dow was up another 370. 26,571. NASDAQ was up 110 at 79.82. The S&P was up 41 at 29.51. And everyone is just hoping for rate cuts. But, you know, supposedly that's what's spurring on these turnarounds. It's all manipulated. 10-year yield, 1.52%. Let's see. European Asian markets, London was up 110. Hong Kong was down 110. And again, the initial price correction we saw in gold today came despite the non-farm job figures for September. And they rose by just 136,000. This was reported by the Labor Department. And certainly this was below all of the mainstream economists' expectations, which was, 145,000. So, you know, unemployment, as reported by the Labor Department, hit a fresh 50-year low. Jobless rate dropped to 3.5%. And, of course, this matched a level last seen in December of 1969.
You know, Melody, I don't interrupt you on that, but I do believe that's a lie. And I'm going to cover that in a little bit why I think so. But I don't believe those numbers are real.
Well, neither do I. There's a broader and what I believe a more accurate measure. It includes discouraged workers and the underemployed. Those numbers are still hovering around 7%. So it's far, far from the Fed's full employment that they're bragging about. John Williams from ShadowStats believes the real equivalent U6 unemployment rate is actually closer to 20%. And we also and that's what I believe. Wages also disappointed, with average hourly earnings a little changed over the month and up just 2.9% for the year. And, of course, this is the lowest increase since July of 2018. So, So I guess that wipes out all concerns of the economy. And, of course, we saw the benefit was the paper markets. And they knew what these numbers were yesterday. So when the stock market got beaten up earlier in the week, they needed some good news to come out. And here we go. You know, I wish they'd stop concentrating on Biden and start concentrating on these fake numbers and start getting these numbers that are real and tell us the truth. But most people out there, depends on what side you are going to believe that these numbers are true. But, oh well. And that was pretty much, you know, it was a typical Friday. There wasn't a whole lot more. Of course, everything has been focused, you know, on the impeachment. The trade gap, that widened more than expected in August. The a record level of imports of consumed goods was the reason. And a fresh round of tariffs looms against China and the European Union. The imbalance stood at $54.9 billion at the end of the month, more than the $54.5 billion projected by economists, and, of course, up from the $54 billion in July. So it did widen more than expected. See if there's anything else interesting in that report. The deficit with Germany swelled to $7.1 billion. That's the highest on record, thanks to $12.1 billion of imports, also a record. Additional tariffs about to take effect against the EU. The trade gap also closed across much of the region. Let's see if there's any other interesting news on that. The EU deficit fell from August. It was still up from a year ago, though. And on a goods basis, auto exports grew $14.3 billion and hit their highest level since July 2014. And the petroleum deficit of $300 million was the lowest on record. So, there's your numbers, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see. I'm not sure if there's any other interesting. I don't think any of that really meant a lot. People aren't really paying much attention to these numbers. No, that's it, Butch. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot going on, Melody, for sure.
There really is a lot going on.
I mean, it's impossible to cover it all, and I know that. And especially in the program, you know, you and I share a lot of information. I think you and I covered a lot of ground during the day, I'll be quite honest with you. I'm impressed with the broadcast. I've been since I've been on with you. But I got a lot to share here. I'd like to share something, though, that two items start off that I think will give you an idea of the condition of the morals of some people in this world. Now, I'm not making this story up. I wish I were making it up, but I watched with my own eyes, so I know it's true. An AOC supporter, a Cortez supporter, says we must start eating babies to save the planet. Now, I'm not making this up, people. You go to my website, PastorButch.com, look under American Minute or Abortion News, you'll see it on there. But this lady was standing at a meeting in a town hall meeting in New York for Cortez. She got up and started bewailing about all the people that's ruining the planet, and said all the people there were polluting the planet. And then said, even if we bombed Russia, we still had too many people left on the planet. And you can quit using fossil fuels. But that's not going to. That won't do it. It's not fast enough. She said, literally, we only have months left to survive on this planet. She had a T-shirt on, and it said, "We must eat the children." I'm not making this up, Melody. This is on national news. The lady named Shelby Telcott reported this in Washington, D.C. This really, really is a fact. She said, "We must start eating the children." How do you come back from that? What do you say? How do you... Even Cortez was shocked. Any comments on that?
Well, you know, I heard for many, many years that in China... Yes. Fetuses was a delicacy.
I've heard that.
Maybe served at the delicatessen, but it was a delicacy. But
I've always heard that, but never could really prove that. But this is no doubt. This is out in the open. Of course, we know that they put aborted baby tissue in about all vaccinations now, which does change your DNA, by the way, folks, which is what happened before the flood. DNA was changed, and they all were damned. But this lady, a car lady, I'm being nice, was up there saying we got eight children. And this is another story. This in Britain, I realize that, but believe me, folks, just coming here. Britain court in transgender case rules that the Bible belief is incompatible with human dignity. In other words, if you stand against the LGBTQ community or the transgender community, whatever, it's wrong. You can't do that. That the Bible is incompatible with human dignity and not in conflict with the fundamental rights of others. So you can't use the Bible anywhere, actually, but in Britain now, to say that I can't support homosexuality, lesbianism, sexual perversion. I can't support it because the Bible is now considered incompatible with human dignity. Melody, those two stories alone absolutely ought to tell us why this world's in a mess. We have fiat currency, and we know that's why the currency's going. But immoral people don't care. As long as they have TV on and a beer in their hand, most of them don't care. That's America and Britain both now. We know the answers, but they're not going to accept them because they're too much in it for themselves. The lady wants to save the planet by eating children. The judges in the British court say the Bible is incompatible and you can't have it in society. Really, it's incompatible with society. Is that a pretty clear indication where this world's heading?
You would think.
I mean, I don't want us to say about that. I mean, I was just stunned. I had a guy who helped me do some work there at a rental property I have. He's helping me clean the place up. And I said, "You got to see this, Clem. Come look at this." I showed him that video of the woman saying that. And he stood there with his mouth gapped open. He said, I can't believe that. But anyway, it happened. Now, back to the impeachment fiasco. 45% of all Americans, according to this poll, support impeaching Trump, or 38% are against it, poll says. In a new sign of how support is growing for the impeachment effort launched last week, a poll out Thursday has found that 45% of Americans believe the House of Representatives should vote to impeach President Donald Trump. Some 38% of the respondents to the USA Today poll said the House should not vote to impeach him, and 17% said they didn't know. So it's evenly divided, as we'll say, whether impeach or not. And you know, of course, who Steve Bannon is, right?
Yes, I do.
He's supposed to be a real hero for the people, was he not? I mean, he was supposed to be one of the Trump's advisors, and he was a chief advisor. And he's going to be a real hero for the people. A lot of people were excited, including Alex Jones, a lot of them, which I was kind of excited, too. That Bannon's going to be out there, and he's going to be speaking up for the truth behind that's not being exposed. Well, Bannon says, Stephen Miller said, blamed impeachment on deep state. Bannon says that's for nutcases. Can you believe that? I mean, this is from Bannon now, mind you. Said Bannon states his opinion in a new book, Deep State, Trump, FBI, and the Rule of Law by James B. Stewart, which will be published on October 8th. The deep state conspiracy theory is for nutcases. Now, this is what Bannon said. The deep state conspiracy theory is for nutcases. Bannon's quote saying, because America isn't Turkey or Egypt. No, we're probably worse in a lot of ways. But this is coming from Bannon, Stephen Bannon, who was, I really believe from what I knew about him before all this happened, that he was pretty wise on what's happening with the things like 9/11 and all the other things happening and the cover-ups. But I'm shocked to see this. You got any comments on that?
You know, I mean, I think we talked about it earlier in the week, how sometimes these words and, you know, these, I don't know, like the deep state gets used so often, it sort of loses its original meaning. And, you know, just like we liberals, everybody's, you know, it just, loses the impact, and I think the deep state is, you know, pretty much has become the same way. We throw the deep state around without ever supporting who what, when, and where a lot of the times. Not always, but a lot of the times. And I think it sort of loses the meaning of what's really going on. And that's just my view. But so I'm not supporting him. I never liked Steve Bannon to begin with. Never did. He wrote some powerful articles that I liked. There's a lot of things, kind of almost like, you know, well, I'm not going to say who, but, you know, I liked some of his thoughts. I liked some of his insights, but I just never really believed that he believed, you know, so.
Really?
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. But maybe showing his true colors now then.
I don't know.
That's possible. But now, after all this stuff about the Ukraine, Ukraine reviews probe into corrupt Biden-linked gas company. They're doing this on their own. Trump didn't make him do this, obviously. After a week of nonstop bombshell leaks about the Democrats' impeachment probe into President Trump, which supposedly trying to determine whether Trump pressured the newly elected Ukrainian president to push for investigations into Joe and Hunter Biden and their ties to a domestic gas company, the media is now being forced to confront another uncomfortable reality. The Ukrainian prosecutors appear to be finally moving ahead with the review of an investigation of the Biden-linked gas company, even after the alleged quid pro quo had been taken off the table. But 12 hours after President Trump recommended that Ukraine and China start looking into the Bidens, WSJ reports that Ukraine General Prosecutor's Office is reviewing investigations into a gas company that has once paid Hunter Biden $50,000 a month to sit on this board. The Democrats have continued to insist that it's Trump, not Biden, who's truly guilty of corruption. The vice president doesn't sound too comfortable with all this new scrutiny. During an appearance in Nevada last night, Biden insisted that Trump won't destroy me or my family and accused the president of using dirty tricks. This could backfire on the Democrats. I mean, it's very possible, is it not?
Very much so. But the thing with it is, I don't understand why we would ask.
Welcome to your life. There's no turning back. Even while we sleep, we will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and guess what? I am here live. Yes, that first segment of today's program, it was a pre-recorded. Actually, it was an archive from Friday, only because we had some technical problems getting hooked up. Didn't want to break in the middle of the report from Friday, so we came back, and we are live today. And so you'll have two segments that are live. And so I know many of you listen to the replays that we have on a regular basis, so I hope you stayed long enough to listen to us live today. And today is October 7th. It's Monday, and it's 2019. And yes, Dave Allen is back today, and we're going to bring you for the next two segments our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Hey, Dave.
Happy Monday, Melody.
And happy Monday. It's a typical Monday, as having it start out like it has. And but I want to just thank the listeners for standing by. And wouldn't you know it, that I actually did. It's just a. I closed out my screen here, so.
Yes,
so
it is
what
a
can go wrong will go wrong. Wasn't that Murphy's Law that they called it?
It must be an Irish holiday today that we weren't aware of.
I don't know, but I do have the gold and silver prices, and I'll try to find my other segments here. Gold today, in the New York spot price aftermarket, we have gold down 1230. $1,492. Silver was down 12 cents at $1,750. Platinum was down $4 at $881. Palladium was down 3 at $1,669. The USDX today was up 0.13 at 98.97. Crude oil was up 10 cents at 52.91. And the stock market today was down 95 points. Well, I think it was up most of the day, but did reverse here in late afternoon. So the Dow is down 95 at 26,478. The NASDAQ was down 26 points at 79.56. S&P was down 13 at 2,938. 10-year yield, 1.55%, up 0.04%. And European and Asian markets were quiet. Hong Kong was down a little over 1%. No big deal there. So with all that is going on in the news, it is truly amazing that we got the numbers that we have today. It was kind of a typical Monday, I believe. But if you look at some of these headlines, I think, Dave, everything is pretty concentrated on the U.S. and China trade talks. I think you mentioned that, or we talked about earlier today, that President Trump almost has to make some sort of a deal with China heading into the election next year, if we have an election next year.
Well, it sure seems that way. He's almost getting desperate for a major political victory. There really hasn't been any since the tax cuts of late 2017. Although the new UMSCA, the U.S.-Mexico-Canadian trade deal, does appear to be on the House's table to take up before the end of the year. Because Speaker Nancy Pelosi is, cognizant of the fact that, her majority rests in large part on a number of so-called moderate Democrats having won seats in districts that Trump had won in 2016. And so she's not without, a need for a big victory as well. And that's aside from the very divisive, controversial impeachment inquiry that's sort of serving as the backdrop as we move ahead here.
Well, if anybody even just takes a peek at the headlines today, I mean, they're just That's just nuts. It's just crazy. We're going to talk later on in the program about Syria, and I think I have that right now. We're heading into the President Trump has vowed today to pull back from military involvement in the Middle East, and he's going to leave it to others to figure the situation out. Of course, Republican allies condemn him for abandoning the allies and emboldening the regional enemies. Those are the Republican allies. In a series of Twitter tweets, the president defended his decision to clear the way for a Turkish military operation that could sweep away America's Kurdish allies near the Syrian border. He also argued that the domestic conflict among forces in the region really wasn't a top priority for a war-weary U.S. And he said he has held off this fight for almost 3 years. He says, but it's time for us to get out of these ridiculous endless wars, many of them tribal, and which is true, and to bring our soldiers home, Dave.
Yeah, after this flood of criticism from congressional Republicans, Melody, Trump did pivot a few hours later, saying that rather explicitly that he would prevent Turkey from going too far. Without initially, anyway, explaining what he meant or where that line would be drawn. A Defense Department official said that the president removed any ambiguity about whether he had endorsed the Turkish attack on the Kurds. The Pentagon spokesperson said the Department of Defense made clear to Turkey, as did the president, that we do not endorse a Turkish operation in northern Syria. Now, the president's decision on Sunday to defer to Turkey's desire to intervene in Syria happened to override the objections of the Pentagon and State Department, which is seeking to maintain a small American troop presence in northeastern Syria. This is clearly an ongoing story, Melody.
Well, you know, we've seen... Lindsey Graham, Senator Lindsey Graham, he's become a very, he backed President Trump, and for a lot of, lately, I mean, he's become a good friend of President Trump and so forth. Even he warned that we shouldn't be pulling out. And I think, you know, it's personally, I think the, you know, when you go to Syria, I know Israel is still in there, and I think they're a big player in there on how all of this is folding out. But, of course, you're not going to hear or read about that anywhere. So I do think Israel has a hand in this somehow, some way. It just shows such confusion.
Yeah, that's a good word. Talk about mixed signals.
Yes. And hey, I'm there to bring the troops home. But there's a lot of other places also that it should be addressed. And if this is just as usual, though, we are heading into election, and whether these are, you know, election decisions, positioning. We don't know, but you kind of put the two and two together, and that's what you come up with. But we also saw Hong Kong in a third prong of the geopolitical triangle. You have a jittery Hong Kong was once again embroiled in clashes on Sunday. This came just hours after tens of thousands of people have marched in a largely peaceful show of force against the contentious ban on face masks. Two large marches on Sunday afternoon. It was the first significant public gathering since the ban took effect only the day before, and under a rarely invoked emergency powers law. So there was a lot of pouring rain, but you have these angry protesters. They're still turning out in mass, and many on edge from the growing violence from the recent weeks. And of course, China had its 70th anniversary of a lot of patriotic celebrations around that anniversary just last week. So, I don't know how long they're going to be able to do this, Dave, without something more serious happening.
Well, no disrespect intended, but it certainly will be interesting to the extent they celebrate it, how Halloween will be observed in Hong Kong this year with all these, with the ban on masks. Maybe it's not an issue. But Hong Kong's leader, Carrie Lam, has used the colonial era law to try to isolate the hardcore activists who are at the center of these recent clashes with the police. She's under intense pressure, presumably from mainland China, to act after months of violence has strained the local economy and prompted concerns about intervention by Beijing. China's ruling Communist Party has warned that it would consider using force to suppress the demonstrations if they got much more out of hand. The risk I read about is that Lam's move could backfire, provoking moderate protesters and just exacerbating a sense that officials are infringing on the civil freedoms that, Hong Kong has maintained since its return to Chinese control in 1997. The marches began peacefully on Sunday, as you mentioned. Demonstrators in face masks chanted, "Hong Kongers, resist!" That was outside the shuttered malls and stores of one of their big shopping districts. But from there, Melody, all craziness broke loose.
Wow.
Again.
Here back into the States, we have, there's a short blurb today that the shares of and General Electric, they surged a little over 2.5% in pre-market trading. But they came out and they said that they were freezing the U.S. pension plan for about 20,000 employees. Now, I know they have a lot more employees than that, so I don't know if this percentage-wise, if this is a large number. It seems like if you're in one of those 20,000 people, it's a big number to you. But they're going to freeze the U.S. pension plan for about 20,000 employees with salaried benefits and supplementary pension benefits for 700 employees. GE said there would be no change for retirees already collecting pension benefits. The pension plan was closed to new entrants since 2012, and the company said it would offer a limited time lump sum payment option to about 100,000 former employees who have not yet started their monthly pension plan payments. So
yeah, that's big news for those employees. I presume it means that the defined benefit plan that GE has offered for its U.S. employees, they will there's a hold on contributing any more company assets to those accounts, and that of course will, other things being equal, increase the unfunded liability of the benefits for those employees, and again, all other things being equal, probably mean, especially if this freeze goes on for a long period of time, that the pension benefits they otherwise may have qualified for, depending how much longer they had to work before they retired, are going to be less than they otherwise would have been. So tough times in corporate America, Melody.
Well, they talk about the 20,000 employees with salary benefits and supplementary benefits, and then they go on and they talk about but the big number is 100,000 former employees that are being offered.
They're the retirees that are presumably receiving these defined benefit benefits.
That's a big number.
Yeah, sure is.
And it's just a matter of time until they begin to make changes for retirees that have already collected the pension benefits. They might say it now, it's not going to affect you now, but it will.
it certainly points to that, and unfortunately for those employees, that's bad news, particularly ones who did some significant financial planning to sort of sketch out their green pasture years now. So then I don't know if it's going to be a case where the U.S. Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation is going to be asked to intervene. Some other things have to happen to the company before I believe that that kicks in. But again, another dark sign on the horizon.
And you know, after this news came out today, Dave, their stocks, I don't call 2.5% as a surge. But their stock has tumbled over 32% in the past 12 months. So, you know.
Yep. Hard times. Hard times at good old General Electric.
Yeah. There was another report out today. And we often we only have a couple minutes in this segment. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we are live. It's Monday, and it is October 7th. We had little technical problems in the beginning of the program, but we're here. So we always talk about black swans. And there was a report. It was the Daily Star. You can take it for whatever it's worth. But what is interesting about this, it talks about the world on the brink of an unavoidable black swan apocalypse, security panel warns. This type of disaster event is unforeseen and could have catastrophic consequences. And I believe they are having, if I can get my computer to scroll, they are actually having there is a meeting this week. Let's see if I can find this here. My apologies, ladies and gentlemen. They show so many pictures and then it just never scrolls right. Information technology. Experts from Germany and the U.S. is going to discuss this risk in the presence of Russian, Armenian, and other delegates at the World Congress on Information Technology tomorrow. The panel will include national security expert and author Richard Clark, who manned the White House emergency response during the 9/11 attacks. To me, I think that's kind of interesting that they're actually having a meeting and discussing, and a lot of it is computers. How are they going to, the fragile infrastructure systems, and they're beginning to be increasingly complex and fragile. And that is something we talk about it all the time on this program. And we can continue talking about it when we come back from the breaks. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97%. Of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Toilet System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. Heading into the break, we were talking about the black swan. We talk about that all the time. It's always something that comes from left field that no one is prepared for. And considering how complex our systems are anymore, how fragile they are, no one is prepared for it. Heck, you know, just last week I talked about, you know, just all these major sites being hacked and information is being stolen, and maybe a black swan that messes up the technology system, that might be a good thing. But if you have money there, it isn't. So all it is paper, ladies and gentlemen, digits and paper. And they're not going to come to you to say, hey, Mr. Smith, you know, we have it shown that you have $100,000 in this account. We're going to make sure that you have it and you have access to it immediately. No, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to prove to them.
I see a red flag.
Yes.
So, well, I'll tell you, millennials might appreciate that. Just briefly, I read another story this morning, I believe it was, that said that it was a study that estimates that AI, the robotics office, robotics, could replace up to a quarter of a million millennials, you know, in the next 10 years. Yeah, that's on the one hand, the number does seem potentially low. On the other, a quarter of a million is a rather fantastic number, and I don't mean fantastic in a good sense. It's what did the Hill Street Blues sergeant say? Let's be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you know, Dave, you know, whether it's, you're right, there's a huge range of numbers of jobs that'll be lost due to technology, due to AI, but almost definitely it's going to be in the millions. I mean, it's millions and millions of jobs that will be lost, and there's no plan to retrain people. These kids that are going to college, what their degrees that they're going after aren't going to help them. Going into these various areas, and it's no one will be prepared for it. So yeah, it'll be interesting.
I mean, it's a trend that could really change the paradigm completely. I mean, certainly in the 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe even the early 2000s. You know, the big companies of the world said that, you know, they were looking for well-rounded, you know, individuals to enter the workforce. And, you know, many people, that meant, you know, a liberal arts education. You know, you didn't necessarily have to be a business or a finance major. There were plenty of resources at that point to train these new employees to come on board. That now has obviously changed in the last 15 or so years. And so it could change the whole nature of the educational system, I think, both at the high school and the higher education level, Melody, with this change to, you know, a robotic workforce.
Well, you know, on Friday, the unemployment rate dipped to a 50-year low, but Nobel laureate Robert Shuller says that the number may not be the best indicator of the strength of the job market and economy. And I'm not sure if we talked a little bit of, we did talk a little bit about this on Friday, but it really does, it is worth repeating. And the professor said that it looks kind of hard to criticize President Trump's economic success. The report found that the jobless rate dropped to 3.5%, a level last seen in December of 1969. He says the number certainly can boost confidence, Schiller said, but the unemployment rate is a fuzzy number. You know, we often talk about Williams. God, what's his first name, Dave?
John.
Thank you. John Williams, a shadow stats.
Yeah.
He's looking at a 20% rate right now. But we're going to talk about Schiller and what he says because, you know, he's mainstream. He says he doesn't know if it's entirely comparable to 50 years ago. We have different thoughts about that now. He said, and again, his strength is in economics. He got his Nobel Prize in economics in 2013 for his work on asset prices and inefficient markets, Dave.
Well, yeah, and Friday's government report showing the drop in the nation's unemployment rate, you know, is coming as the economy is in the midst of another sluggish month of job growth. You know, non-farm payrolls did increase by 136,000 in September, but, you know, that was lower than expected. Additionally, average hourly earnings were little changed last month, you know, translating into the lowest annualized increase since, what, July 2018? Schiller said the flat wage number in this report suggests it's not really a strong economy, but you can spin this report any way you want. You know, and the president did that just on Friday, while also using the jobs report to take aim at the Democrats' impeachment inquiry, Melody.
Well, you know, this guy, I think he's got it. He might be partially right, but he talks about, this guy's name is Steen Jacobson, and he talks about weakening the dollar is the last throw of the dice at rescuing the global economy. He said 2019 will most likely be remembered as a year that started a global recession, despite the lowest ever nominal and real estate and real interest rates. He says monetary policy has reached the end of a very long road and has proven a failure. And he is the chief economist at Saxo Bank. And the European Central Bank, meanwhile, recently unveiled a package of measures to reinvigorate the Eurozone economy, cutting its deposit rate by 10 basis points to 0.5%.
Negative, I think he's right. Negative 0.5.
Negative 0.5. And I think, you know, he's right because we all know our currency has to drop. But I think, again, it's a temporary fix because if our dollar drops too fast, too far, too fast, it's over. It's history.
Well, in all cases, it's be careful what you ask for. Yeah. And I think the biggest fear, at least of mine, of ours, and I think the thing that should scare Americans especially the most is that we just don't know. The rise in uncertainty, you know, just I think just cast a big shadow on, you know, the next 6 months, year, two, three, four, five, and certainly, you know, longer term. You know, that's not trying to be an alarmist. I mean, that's real stuff. But you know, getting back to the ECB, they're also launching a massive new quantitative easing program, as are other central banks around the world. Fears for the global economy have, you know, been made worse of late by the weakest manufacturing data coming out of the U.S. in over a decade. And that's compounded already fragile economic readings from across most of Europe and beyond. You know, the worldwide, the outlook report that Saxo Bank released pointed to about $240 trillion of debt worldwide, roughly 240% of global GDP. and also argued that too much of that debt is denominated in U.S. dollars. Of course, due to the dollar's role as the global reserve currency and the deep liquidity of U.S. capital markets. Let me just say one more thing, Melody. I note that, with inflation running about, 1.6 to 1.8%, at least as reported by the government, and with the upper range now of the Fed funds rate at 2%, but the average in the last 2 weeks has been higher, but if you take the average, the upper range of 2, I mean, you got real interest rates in the United States now at just 0.2%. I mean, we're essentially on the verge of going negative. In fact, we will be negative in a real sense after the October 31st Fed meeting, when I believe, they're likely to decrease rates again by at least 25 basis points. Some are saying 50, although, there's a chance they won't do it in October. They'll wait till December. But these be very, you can use all sorts of adjectives. We'll just say interesting times.
And you know what, Dave? Who's really paying any attention to this? No one.
Yeah.
Everyone is so focused on whatever tweet comes out of the White House, whatever happens comes out of the, Pelosi's, the impeachment. I mean, it's just all the important things. You don't hear a whisper anywhere. Not a whisper. And, I was reading it, not only with your article going into the newsletter this week, but also Doug Nolan's, and he talks about, during the Great Recession of 2008, every news station, everybody talked about the money supply. We used to report the money supply on this program. You don't hear anything about that anymore.
Yeah, and, that's a great point.
Yeah, and that's what he wrote about this week, how much the money supply surged. And it had the strongest advance since the week of January 2016.
Thank you. Thank you, Repo World.
Yeah. And who's talking about it? Who's even mentioning it?
We are.
And it's not normal. It's not normal policy. It's broken. And it's you're right, Dave. It's no one knows where this is going to lead. Who cares about when? No one knows where it's going to lead. It's like, it's like walking down a dark alley in the middle of the night, no moon. You don't know where you're going. We don't know where this is headed, except it's not going to be a very friendly place. And a lot of people are going to be affected, and it's going to hurt a lot of people. And there's in the same article about this Jacobson, he talks about the dollar rising too much, how it's going to put a strain on the system. And it's not only for the U.S. exports, but also for emerging markets. Well, we've seen that. And then weakening the dollar is likely to put the final nail in the coffin of the grand credit cycle that started way back in the 80s. And
it's time to be a Boy Scout and Girl Scout. Be prepared.
Really? Don't be scared, be prepared. And get out of that paper. Put it into something that's real, something that's not a digit. Something that's not paper, something that's real, something that's real money. It's real money. and get balanced. If you have to hold paper investments for whatever reason, get balanced. 5%, 20%, 10%. We're not financial planners, but I know what a lot of these guys tell you that are. Oh, you only want 5% in gold. What's the point? What's the point of insuring your home for 5%? Like, what's the point? There isn't any. So think about it in that manner, ladies and gentlemen. Get your home insured for the full value. Get your wealth insured for the full value. It's the only thing that makes sense. It's the only thing that will really balance your portfolio. And you're going to hear a lot of strange things out there, ladies and gentlemen. So here we have Dave HP. They're looking to cut their workforce, I believe, aren't they?
Yeah, boy, up to 9,000 employees. It's not going to be a pretty Christmas for those folks. You know, apparently big downturn in its printer business. 9,000 represents about 18% of its U.S. Workforce over the next 3 years. You know, they have, what, 55,000 globally. So this is going to happen over a three-year period, although I wouldn't be surprised if it comes a little faster, but particularly as Enrique Lores, who he's replacing, I forget, Dion Weisler or Wessler as the CEO on November 1st. I think there may be some bolder moves taking place sooner than later.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Dave. Great input, great information today. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dave.